This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And I'm now joined on the line by Simon Ramsey, who is the member for Western Victoria Region in the Legislative Council. Simon, good morning to you once again.
Yeah, good morning, Mitch.
Good to speak with you. Now, a lot of people would be thinking about what's going on with the council and the report. I saw your comments about it last week in response to the fact that it had been leaked. What are your thoughts about all of that?
Well, I'm certainly very disappointed, like I'm sure many others, councillors particularly, given that they were reading some of the detailed report in the Geelong Advertiser. So I'm not sure if that was arranged courtesy of the Andrews government or that in fact there was a genuine leak to the press. But nevertheless, the report will be tabled in the Parliament this week. We expect either tomorrow or early Wednesday. And obviously, the good people of Geelong will be interested to know, in fact, if they do have a council at all this week, or they've been granted a state of leave, I guess, to allow the council to operate until the local government elections in October, November.
Will there actually be an investigation into how it was leaked, or do we not really care about that and we're moving on from that now?
Well, I'll certainly be raising it in Parliament this week. The concern that I have that there was a leak, quite a substantial leak to the papers, and I'm quite sure the commissioners would have been very disappointed to see the detail of their work being leaked to the press before it's been tabled in Parliament and also before it's been presented to the councillors themselves and the City of Geelong Council. So I do believe there should be an investigation to see how such an important document, a confidential document, to the Minister actually got to the press.
Well, as I was saying last week, this reflects people's future. You know, the councillors, a lot of them have been doing this job for quite some time, and it doesn't seem to be very fair on them to have the newspaper coming in with its thoughts before anyone else gets the opportunity to.
That's true, and it was more than the newspaper's thoughts. It seemed to me to be an organised leak where some of the detail had found its way to the press rather than the press making assumptions. So that the person who's leaked has got to be held to account, and I certainly would hope that after I raise this in Parliament this week, there'll be some action in that respect.
But most media outlets seem to say that it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the council will be sacked. I noticed the Advertiser today says that the councillors are already clearing out their desks, so it does seem to be like there's no room for discussion. That's it, they're going to be sacked.
Well, it did seem to me that the Andrews government, from the start, were very keen to get rid of council. No doubt there's some animosity between Richard Marles and Darren Lyons, and obviously Darren's made no secret that he has some political ambitions, so there might be some political expediency to get him out of the way. But as we know, you know, the council has had historical issues with some governance issues going back 10, 20 years, and I think the model that we legislated in relation to the directly elected model, which was well supported by key stakeholders in Geelong, wasn't the perfect model to support a directly elected mayor, and certainly there needs to be a review of the City of Greater Geelong Amendment Act, which has legislation enshrined around the directly elected model and the ward system, and there's a review process built into that, and I think we need to look at how in the future we can support, if in fact that model is a preferred model, the directly elected mayor process and award system.
I put this question to Christine Cousins when she was in last week, and I'll put the same question to you. Have you seen any evidence of bullying in your dealings with the council? Obviously, as a representative to state parliament, you would have to deal with council on a regular basis. Have you seen anything that we're hearing about in the media?
Well, I haven't personally, but then I haven't worked in the council or been a councillor, but I've had people talk to me about the fact that there's been ongoing bullying, harassment. Now, it depends how you interpret the word bullying, whether it's some stern words or an action that's intimidating or, in fact, there was some physical connection. But, you know, in all places, in all workplaces, there's sometimes when you feel somewhat threatened by a person's response, whether it's verbal or physical, and I guess we need to be careful about how we're interpreting the word bullying. Certainly the governance issues, I think I have seen plenty of examples where there's been poor governance in council and probably poor councillor conduct. But from a bullying point of view, and I think bullying is a much more serious allegation that I haven't personally seen it, and I've actually worked very well with the past CEOs and the past mayors. So from a political connection, as a member representing Western Victoria, I've had a good relationship with the City of Greater Geelong councillors, particularly their executive staff.
Now, the paper also seems to imply that some of the bullying is coming straight from the top, from Darren Lyons himself. Do you have any thoughts on that, or do you think it's been a culture that has existed for many years prior to Darren's arrival?
Look, I think there has been a culture, and I think there's been a number of councillors that have been named for intimidation or bullying that hasn't been Darren Lyons. I think Darren has a personality sort of that evokes not only passion from himself, but passion against him as well, because he's a very strong individual. He is very committed to the task of making Geelong a better place. He's quite forthright. So that sort of personality trait is quite confronting to others that perhaps are not quite so strong and strong-willed. But that's not bullying. That's having passion, commitment, and a strong personality, which many people have. But I can understand other people being somewhat intimidated by that. But I don't believe Darren would, and certainly I've seen no evidence that he would actually bully to overly intimidate someone, rather than just the passion he exudes.
Now, Kylie Fisher on Facebook, in a Facebook post yesterday, says the commissioner's process was flawed from the start, and she talks about some of the difficulties that she faced when meeting up with the actual commission. For example, that there were only two, not three commissioners in attendance. Also, I noticed Christine Cousins' opponent, Paula Contell, said on Twitter a couple of weeks ago that she thinks it's not a surprise that the council is going to be sacked, or was going to be sacked, or that was the recommendation, because it's been a witch hunt from the very start. What do you think of those comments coming from both Kylie Fisher and Paula Contell? Seem to say that the commission just been set up and it's out to get the council no matter what.
Well, I do know the commissioners have spent a lot of time in Geelong interviewing a whole range of sections of the community. I think they've taken in 250 submissions. Now, I've chaired a lot of parliamentary committees where a lot of evidence is taken, and as very thorough, and my understanding is that the commissioner's investigation has been thorough. But as I said from the outset, the Andrews government made it very clear that it wants the council to go, and certainly I'm sure they'll be encouraging people to speak to the commissioners about the historical nature of council, and certainly the rather flamboyant style of the current mayor, who, as I said, has made it known publicly has some political ambitions. And I certainly hope Darren does make his position clear soon about whether he'll stand to Corio or not, because then the people of Geelong, and particularly the people of Corio, can sort of start making assessments about those candidates that are wanting to seek their support for representing them in Corio.
Now, moving on to this $1.5 billion expenditure announcement, which was made by Malcolm Turnbull at the State Council for the Liberal Party on the weekend, he said that there's going to be $1.5 billion of infrastructure expenditure. But one thing I noticed was a lot of those funds didn't seem to be down this way. For example, a big focus was on improving the Monash Freeway, which is a very worthy project, but is that going to make much of a difference to the people of Geelong?
Well, it will. I mean, some of the significant projects like the Western Ring Road and Metropolitan Ring Road, the final phase of those works will enable traffic to move very freely from Geelong across the city. It's certainly not an east-west link, which we desperately need. But great news about $10 million to the Great Ocean Road, over and above the $50 million already committed. There was $345 million to regional roads and bridges, which is fantastic, and taking up the slack from the cuts of the Andrews Government Country Roads and Bridges Program, which is $160 million, which was lost to local councils. But there was also the funding for the Murray Basin Rail Project, over $220 million, which is a critical freight connection of standardisation track from Mildura to Geelong to Melbourne to move our food and food exports around. So it's great to see that actually what Turnbull has done is get the $1.5 billion out of state treasury, where it was earning approximately $60 million of interest for a road that we didn't build, of which we know cost $1.1 billion for the state taxpayers, and put it around different areas across the state that will help these transport connectivity infrastructure.
Now, I see that there's $3 billion on the table for the East-West Link, whichever side of government decides to eventually build it, but there's no money on the table for the Western Distributor. Does that mean that we won't be seeing the Western Distributor in Victoria?
Well, we'll see something. Whether the Western Distributor goes ahead, it's still in Infrastructure Australia's basket, as I understand. We've had three or four different versions. We've had a Westgate Distributor, a Western Freeway Enhancement Program, a distributor that presumably is going to be funded by those that use the roads through Transurban tolls. So, great opportunity for Transurban shareholders to make the best of new tolls, which will actually include CityLink. So, regardless if Westgate Distributor, what do you want to call it, is built.
Yeah.
Those that don't even use that road will be tolled for the building of it under the current proposal. But it's a poor man's West Link. We need an East West Link. We need a West Link that hooks the highways, our current ring roads, right across from west to east in our case, and frees up the port. This project is going to create traffic jams all around the Port of Melbourne area, where we know we've just passed legislation for the private lease of that port. It's already congested, but why create an off-ramp, if you like, that runs straight into Yarraville around the port precinct? And that's what the Andrews government is proposing by this Transurban deal.
Well, Simon, good to speak to you. We're out of time, unfortunately, because I've got plenty more questions to ask, but we'll catch up again probably next month and continue to talk about it, because I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
Thanks, Mitch.
Good on you, Simon Ramsey there, the member for Western Victoria Region in the Legislative Council.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.